From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan the Tennessee Pal Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Just gonna walk down the street real quick for this one. Money's kind of weird, right? Are you guys into money?
It's not real.
It is a requirement, at least to some extent.
A necessary evil. And you guys will recall several years ago, put out a standing challenge to all of our fellow conspiracy realists in the crowd. We said, can you delineate or determine any meaningful difference between the concept of economy or money and the trappings of religion? And just an accountability check here. I'm pretty sure no one can prove a difference.
Thanks for being our accountability buddy, Ben.
I keep trying to think of it's kind of make them upsies.
Yeah, because it's articles of faith at some point after some certain threshold. I mean, look at the stock market, not to get too topical. But the thing is, despite being all kinds of malarkey, the human world does move at the whims of money and of those who control it. So money can make you powerful, but you also get a disadvantage. It can make you a target. That's tonight's conspiracy. It's a twisting thing we barely touched on in a strange news segment. We didn't have time to get to it, but the nation of China has hacked the U.S. Treasury, which is crazy because that's one of the most important financial institutions across the planet.
But it was fine, right? Everything's okay.
Everything's great, Noel.
Question for you guys. Do you think it's possible to manipulate the stock market by announcing tariffs and then pulling them back at the last minute? Do you think that's intentional?
100%. Cool. That's what I told him to do.
Thought so. Yeah. You know, you guys are tight. Just wondering. We were talking about manipulation of currency, of this idea of wealth and of value. And I just think, you know, that's sort of an interesting thing to point to, how easily, given enough power, these things are changeable.
Mm-hmm. And today we are talking about specifically a time that some people hacked into the U.S. Treasury Department last year, in early December of last year. But it is not something that just occurred, you know, that one time. It is an ongoing situation.
Yes, well said. And that brings us to our question, what happens next? To learn more, we'll have to start from the beginning. Not like the beginning, but, you know, a mid-beginning.
But first, let's take a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll jump right in.
If you could lose 10.4 pounds in a single month, would you try? Well, with Future Health, you can.
That's right. Future Health gives millions access to affordable meds like Ozempic and Semaglutide for less than $3 a day.
You just take a quick 3-minute survey, and if approved, boom, your meds are delivered right to your door within 24 hours for free.
I've personally used these medications and found that it really helped me get an edge on appetite suppression when paired with diet and exercise, something that I always struggled with.
Get this, there's also no insurance needed, so no insurance headaches, and everything is online, which means no doctor visits.
Find out if these medications are right for you in just 3 minutes at tryfh.com.
That's tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Results vary based on start weight and adherence to diet, exercise, and program goals.
Data based on independent studies sponsored by Future Health.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion.
The best AI assistant isn't one that knows the whole world. It's one that knows your world. A custom assistant built on Watson X with IBM's Granite models can leverage your trusted data, be easily trained on your workflows, and integrate with your apps. It can be tuned to do just what you need, because the more AI knows about your world, the more it can help you do. Learn more at ibm.com/productivity. IBM. Let's create.
Ready to shoot your shot? Log on to BetMGM and make your picks in our college basketball 250K Pick'em for your chance to win a share of bonus bets. It's free to play and easy to get started. Just log on to your BetMGM account and predict what will happen at different points throughout the college basketball tournament. You'll earn points with every correct answer, which gives you a shot to win a share of bonus bets. Just pick what will happen throughout the college basketball tournament, and if you make enough correct picks, you'll win a share of bonus bets. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Spring Fest and Ego Days are here at Lowe's. Right now, get a free select Ego 56 volt battery with purchase of a select trimmer, blower, or mower kit. Plus, shop today for new and exclusive items you need for your lawn. So get ready for spring with the latest in innovation from Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Only at Lowe's. We help you save. Offer valid through 4/2. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Here are the facts. Let's be honest, most people across the planet, including residents of these United States, we have some understandable misconceptions about the United States Treasury, the provenance of it, the function, the mission, you could say it. I remember when we were all collectively surprised to learn that the Secret Service functions under the Treasury. That was kind of creepy, honestly.
Yeah, until it got moved into Homeland Security.
Cool, which is totally not a weird
amorphous thing that has all kinds of octopus arms. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I appreciate you saying arms instead of tentacles. That is accurate. Maybe we do like an origin story of the U.S. Treasury, because one thing that might surprise a lot of our American conspiracy realists tonight in Canada, Mexico, the U.S., and the Caribbean is that the Treasury is actually super old. It's like one of the first things the founding fathers put in their paperwork or in their pitch, in their lookbook for America. I mean,
how are you going to do capitalism without a really tight U.S. Treasury?
Wars need funding.
Also true, 100%. And this was established in 1789 as an executive division of the federal government. Its job was to advise the president on financial, fiscal matters and perform certain law enforcement activities. Manufacturing currency, as well as stamp, which I believe it wasn't, were stamps at one point also referred to as legal tender in some way?
Yeah.
I guess that's right. Anywho.
I mean, that's that money and religion. Everything's money if you believe in it hard enough.
That's for sure.
Just on stamps, because they hold a certain value, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It is a bit amorphous, a bit strange when they changed over to forever stamps. And
right.
That's right. Kind of... I don't know. I still don't fully get that, because you used to watch as the price of stamps would kind of incrementally increase.
Maybe that is the move or the reason I was thinking about that, because it's that change certainly made that not be as much of a thing anymore. You know, the idea of the value of stamps. There's got to be some index that can be observed, you know, for like what the value of forever stamps in general are. No, but that you pay once and then they're good forever. Isn't that the whole deal?
That's the idea. Increasingly
seems like a bad
controversial
deal for the government.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe a bad deal for us. It's hard.
Well,
to say.
They also run treasury bonds. So treasury bonds are another example of something kind of like a forever stamp. You got a limited time window, and Uncle Sam says, you know, I'll gladly pay you back for a hamburger on Wednesday if you give me the money for it on Monday.
I've heard that they're a pretty good investment right now.
They were for sure for a minute.
Well, okay, fair enough.
God.
Yeah, true though. True though. Geez. They're in trouble. But in theory, it makes sense for the Treasury to do this sort of stuff. They're the money guys, the money boffins. They also supervise national banks. And a lot of the agencies you hear about in the United States are under the Treasury Department. Greatest hits like the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. BLOSQ, Alcohol and Tobacco Tax Trade Bureau, the U.S. Mint, and of course, our good friends at the IRS. See you guys in April.
So there's an Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, but also the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms? Is that, are they related? Or
No. The one is for taxing, and the other one is for...
getting you.
Yeah.
The other one's forgetting you. And these guys, this is a common misconception. Everything we're describing as far as the U.S. Treasury goes, it is not the Federal Reserve. That is a different branch of bureaucracy and conspiracy. They do hang out, though. They kick it pretty hard.
And the Reserve are the ones, the officials there who adjust interest rates and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and make vague speeches about...
That can also instantly affect the markets just by talking 100%. About it, just by a whiff of a change coming.
Go back and watch our videos on the Federal Reserve, and I believe we've covered it in a full episode at least once.
We did it was about the National Bank, wasn't it? Didn't we? We definitely did a live show about the establishment of the National Bank.
Look, as long as these folks keep doing shenanigans, it is our remit to cover those shenanigans.
So, I believe it's the creature from Jekyll Island. That's a good search term if you wish to go down that rabbit hole.
Shout out to 1913. So, in short, for well over two centuries now, which is a big amount of time for the U.S., the Treasury has been the main institution for Uncle Sam's money. Big tip of the tricorn hat to Alexander Hamilton, most famous now for a musical based on loosely on his life. But before that, he was one of the big financial movers of the Founding Fathers.
Yeah, it is that situation. If you are going to fight a major war, you have to get funding. And all of this this isn't directly tied back to the funding that those revolutionary fellows secured in order to fight back against the British. But it is an interest. Yeah. It isn't. Let's say it's a curious thread to follow. Just the funding, the outside funding that comes into a country as it's attempting to fight some major war.
Yeah, and then the funding the debt that the individual states racked up. And without getting too into the weeds, that was one of the things that Hamilton went 10 toes down on, was saying that the federal government, if a United States exists as an entity, then at some point it has to bear the cost that, say, your Virginias or your Delawares rack up.
I guess what I get kind of my mind blown about when we're talking about the reality of money or like the value of money or money as a religion, like you were saying, Ben, is the amount of debt that countries carry. And like, at what point does that become a real thing, a note that is called in, and which never seems to really happen. It all just seems kind of like soft diplomacy and threats to like have countries kind of do what you want. But the money never really changes hands, or the debts are never really repaid. I don't know. It's wild to me.
In my mind, the way it functions, and I may be way off base here, but as long as everybody is paying their debts, those little payments, right? The interest and all that stuff. As long as everybody is paying everybody else, then money continues to flow and everybody can kind of do their thing that they want to do. Ooh. And people who are getting paid most by others who owe them, right? They can do the most things that they want to do. They can, does that make sense?
I think you're
yes, it does. And I think that's well put. They can also, those people or entities in power, they can wield great influence beyond just a spreadsheet. And that's where we get to some of the big controversies of the Treasury Department, given its position. It's high functionality, right? And given the length of time this institution has existed, it's not a surprise that they have, stepped a little off the hedge path or the hedgerow every so often, and to great consequence and to great detriment to the average person. But again, the average person, and I want to be very honest here, is not involved in these conversations. You can vote all the live long day, but you do not have direct influence on the U.S. Treasury. It's sort of like if you're a second grader, you don't get to determine who becomes principal next year.
Yeah, you got to pay extra for that.
You can vote for the people or person who has the people around them who will appoint the person that runs the Treasury.
You can vote for a person who will tell you, if you catch them on a good day, that they will do what you believe will make the United States better.
Yes.
Spoiler, they're probably not going to call you every 3 p.m.
You're not going to check in? You're not going to do a little check-in?
No. You have to get above a certain threshold. I mean, there's no arguing this, though. It's like so many other... The U.S. Treasury is a fundamental part of the United States. Whatever kind of treasury or financial overseer system exists in any nation, it is a fundamental piece of the overall organism. In the U.S., all of the institutions we have are both imperfect and necessary. And it's funny, we talk about this all the time. All sorts of people have all kinds of ideas about how to improve the Treasury. You ask people, especially in DC, and you're going to encounter some pretty hard sell pitches. And you'll encounter people who are not even being insincere. They're being quite genuine when they say, we know how to fix this, right? Here's what you do, step A through Z. But the issue is, these ideas are often contradictory. There are ulterior motives at play. If you took everybody's ideas, you put them all together and rolled them out at once, the immediate result would be chaos. And that's why the U.S. overall, especially in the world of finance, it has a surprisingly like ad hoc, patched together sort of jazz approach to infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. The only thing everybody agrees on is more military spending.
Yeah. The people who are allowed to speak in Congress, the yes. one thing they agree on.
Yeah. It's just some people say more military spending and others say more military spending.
Mm-hmm. And then another guy goes, I completely disagree. What we need to do is spend more on the military. Also,
well said, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's crucial to remember when we talk about the U.S. Treasury in particular, this money makes you powerful. It also makes you a target for high-level espionage and high-level politicians domestically. This is a golden goose. This single entity has vast influence over the way U.S. money moves, which means it has vast influence over the way money moves throughout the world.
And I mean, if there's one thing that I think we've learned from the Doge situation, whatever you think about what they're ultimately doing, is that a lot of these systems are pretty antiquated and potentially vulnerable to this kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. And also remember just the number of government grants, the number of payments that the U.S. government makes when a deal is made, especially with a foreign entity, with either a corporation, a state, anything like that. There are usually press releases or, you know, some big announcement in the press when money is moving, especially across borders of the United States to another country. But the specifics of anything to do with that, you know, the drill down specifics of where that money is moving is often not discussed. Mm-hmm. That is like highly controlled information.
By design. Yeah, it has to. It's OPSEC at that point. Like I love that point because that gets us to, I would say, one of the axioms that is fundamental to this episode. At least in my opinion, it's not so much what the money is or what the money does. I think it's more what kind of tea leaves you can read, what sort of actions one can predict, and then if necessary, prevent, right? It gives you a little heads up, a little bit of prognostication ability. And that's why we see the real danger of compromising the U.S. Treasury Department it has a, wait for it, treasure trove. Thank you, Dylan. I appreciate the drum riff there. Of data. It has a wealth of knowledge, that could, if compromised, easily make things go south in a serious way as we record this evening. Folks, true story. Don't be fooled. 2024 was just a few months ago. Not too long ago, the U.S. Treasury got hacked hard, arguably twice.
The old 1-2 punch.
Yep, and we're going to tell you all about that hard hacking right after this.
A hard hack's gonna come, y'all.
If you could lose 10.4 pounds in a single month, would you try? Well, with Future Health, you can.
That's right. Future Health gives millions access to affordable meds like Ozempic and Semaglutide for less than $3 a day.
You just take a quick 3-minute survey, and if approved, boom, your meds are delivered right to your door within 24 hours for free.
I've personally used these medications and found that it really helped me get an edge on appetite suppression when paired with diet and exercise, something that I always struggled with.
Get this, there's also no insurance needed, so no insurance headaches, and everything is online, which means no doctor visits.
Find out if these medications are right for you in just 3 minutes at tryfh.com.
That's tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Results vary based on start weight and adherence to diet, exercise, and program goals.
Data based on independent studies sponsored by Future Health.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion.
Your business deploys AI pilots everywhere. But are they going anywhere? Or are they stuck in silos, exhausting resources, unable to scale? Maybe you don't need hundreds of AI pilots. You need a holistic strategy. IBM has 65,000 consultants with Gen AI expertise who can help you design, integrate, and optimize AI solutions. So you're not just deploying AI, you're scaling it across your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Ready to shoot your shot? Log on to BetMGM and make your picks in our college basketball 250K pick'em for your chance to win a share of bonus bets. It's free to play and easy to get started. Just log on to your BetMGM account and predict what will happen at different points throughout the college basketball tournament. You'll earn points with every correct answer, which gives you a shot to win a share of bonus bets. Just pick what will happen throughout the college basketball tournament, and if you make enough correct picks, you'll win a share of bonus bets. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Spring Fest and Ego Days are here at Lowe's. Right now, get a free select Ego 56-volt battery with purchase of a select trimmer, blower, or mower kit. Plus, shop today for new and exclusive items you need for your lawn. So get ready for spring with the latest in innovation from Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Only at Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer valid through 4-2. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Here's where it gets crazy. All right. Let's be honest. All right. We're talking about like the first hack. What was the real first hack? For decades, we talked, like even before we started doing this strange show, the United States has repeatedly, often, consistently accused rival powers, especially our pals in China and in Russia, of trying to hack into their stuff.
Yep. And lest we forget North Korea, we've heard that many a time.
And, you know, there's a certain amount of kind of chest puffing, you know, saber rattling here when it comes to politicians trying to seem like they're kind of keyed into what's going on, trying to earn points with their constituency or with other politicians. But it is important to realize that this stuff isn't coming from thin air at all. This is a very real threat and has been for a very long time.
Yeah, and I love that because, look, folks, we know politics can be sensitive, as can any other sort of religious ideology, but this is not an episode about politics. This is an episode about espionage. This is an episode about tradecraft, and it's one that we all need to be aware of, right? And this is where we go to journalists like David E. Sanger and Julian E. Barnes. Sanger's going to show up a couple of times because he just did some kick-ass work for the New York Times. He's going to show up a couple of New York Times in tonight's episode. In November of 2024, Sanger and Barnes describe the mission creep of Chinese espionage in specific applied to the United States.
The quote is, "At first, the biggest worry was the theft of intellectual property, such as chip designs and plans for military equipment."
Yummy.
And just coming out of the quote, we've talked about that many times. The what do they call it? Corporate espionage or
industrial espionage?
And that's it.
Hey, hanging out. We just call it hanging out.
Well, I mean, I think I mentioned like the synthesizer that I have. There's these chips inside of it that when they were made, they had a defect basically because they were covered with this like polyurethane material. And it was literally a process that made the chips more vulnerable to moisture and stuff, but was designed to protect against people being able to scope out what the chip design looked like, you know, and take a photo of it from the factory floor or whatever to prevent industrial espionage.
Oh, yeah. So chips are one thing. Some things like nuclear power generation way back in the day, all kinds of things like that were just new technologies, right? Were always and have always been ripe fruit to be picked from anybody who was good at this type of espionage.
Proprietary stuff, right?
Yes. So let's jump back to the quote. We're talking about military equipment, chip designs, intellectual property. Quote, "Those included the F-35, America's most advanced fighter jet, whose blueprints China stole from American military contractors."
True story.
Oh, dear. Then, during the Bush and Obama administrations, China's focus turned to understanding American government officials, including the theft of the security clearance files of more than 22 million Americans.
Wow. This was not ideal. Just by the way, I'm being very, very – beat me here, Dylan. I am being extremely fucking diplomatic. Yeah. And everybody who heard that line well, please, please, please.
I believe the line was – it was not ideal.
Recognize the diplomacy there, because now we're getting past, like, okay, for anybody who's ever been in a weird personal relationship, sometimes somewhat toxic or somewhat just curious cats will do deep internet, you know, searching. We'll joke and call it internet stalking on other people to figure out what their aims are, what their provenance is, what their mission is. China now is doing this on a macro level as a with all the powers of one of the most important nations and one of the most dangerous nations on the planet. They might be looking at you and saying like, "Oh, what'd you do Tuesday?"
Yeah, and these are individuals with security clearance, which means they have access to those files that not all of us have access to.
Mm-hmm. And then extrapolate that toward the larger web, right? Leveraging Five Eyes, which is clearly compromised at this point. And then you can now construct a model or a decision tree where you say something like, hey, I'm thinking of an innocuous name. Hey, Tiffany Blue Jeans, or whatever, has a security clearance, right? And we know she hangs out here and she knows she has an interest in this thing. And so maybe we can have a whoosh, whoosh, accidental meeting where a conversation ensues and we can learn a little bit more.
Or even potentially compromise somebody like that, right?
Well, whether it
be by, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, like,
compromisation.
Even, well, not just eavesdropping or like, you know, probing for information, but even making them an asset potentially.
Turning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where, yeah.
And when you have 22 million of them, you can maybe see somebody who's like third down the line of who's going to get notified when action X occurs, right?
Feeling a little underappreciated maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Leverage the weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. Find the gaps in the armor. So we already see, like that excellent quote describes, we see an expansion of scope mission creep. Earlier hacks, earlier compromise attempts, espionage, tradecraft attempts, relatively constrained. Let me get the blueprints. Let me get out. Let me see if I can leave a proverbial window open so I can break in later. And just side note, that's a reference to typical B&E strategy for anybody who knows what they're doing. You break into a house or a structure the first time. What you want to do is leave some sort of just unlatch a window or something and hope no one notices it, because it makes it easier for you to do a second round of crimes. Mm-hmm. Also, well, yeah. Don't do that.
Well, especially when you're talking about doing some kind of espionage through a computer interface, right? Or through a network. Leaving an escape hatch open is a little easier than, you know, physically unlatching a window when there's a big investigation or something, right? Like sometimes, not always, but it is definitely the strategy, as you said, Ben.
What we're saying is, everybody, go check your windows right now.
Hey. Ones you don't check often.
Yes, those are the ones, and that applies to security online and electronic infrastructure as well. So the next question is, like, what? How do we make this bigger? Right? Hackers are asking. And they're saying, if we steal access to one thing, why don't we leverage that to gain access to some other thing or place? Like, ultimately, you don't want to steal just the key to the front door. You want to steal the key to the room where someone makes all the other keys.
If it's a give a man a fish, teach a man to fish kind of scenario.
Which is an example that comes up later. Yes, absolutely.
So I wonder if, it's weird. I feel like the Treasury Department might be the biggest get you can almost imagine.
One of, for sure, especially as far as world powers go. These, like we were saying, these attacks are occurring. They are occurring much more often than the average member of the public might assume, especially if you're a member of the public in China, because as we'll see later, they disagree with some of the allegations of conspiracy that we're going to explore, but we will tell you things that the United States and the world at large, other than the PRC, the People's Republic of China, considers proven right now. And you don't have to look far. Let's just like start with July of 2024. Not too long ago, we were all, I guess, easy breezy summer girls or whatever. And then China broke into everybody's phones.
Yeah. PRC sponsored hackers broke into at least 9 separate telecom systems. And, you know, this is also one of those things, too, where we say PRC sponsored, but there is still kind of plausible deniability from the government, right? It's like we didn't, you know, hire these people. They were acting on their own. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. Hacking for hire. It's a thing we'll get into later as well. And I think that's excellent foreshadowing. There's a degree of a hidden hand, right? Plausible deniability, we would call it in the US when we do it, because spoiler, we super do that. Oh, yeah. All the time.
Well, and the hacker group that we're talking about here, for hire or otherwise, they've got a really sick name, if you ask me. Salt Very Typhoon. Specific, really. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What is it?
Salt Typhoon.
Wow. Yeah.
They did not, they do not call themselves that. They were known as APT-27, Advanced Persistent Threat 27, and then Microsoft called them Salt Typhoon.
Okay, well, good on you, Microsoft. That's a pretty sick nickname. It's like the way the press sort of like nicknames a serial killer or something. That's interesting.
Yeah. And now the reported purpose of this hack was specifically to spy on U.S. government officials, including then, I believe it was Donald Trump as he's running for president for a second.
President-elect, yeah.
Yes. And there was like other just high-level government officials that they wanted to just literally see what they're doing on their phones.
Compromise cabinet-level stuff, and then the unelected bureaucrats that can make some powerful decisions with global consequence. There have been other breaches and breach attempts by this group back before Microsoft called them Salt Typhoon, and they were against public entities as well as private, big enough companies, especially in the defense industry, especially in certain, I will say, biomedicine applications. right? So they're touching universities, they're touching healthcare, they're touching the right kind of grants, and they're doing HumeInt as well. So they're human intelligence. So they're also, you know, they found out what Miss Blue Jeans is doing later, and they sent someone to have a chat.
I wonder if they found the cloning facilities.
Ooh.
They just found a clone of the cloning facilities.
Hey,
right?
An instance.
An instance, an iteration thereof. This telecom breach that Noel's mentioning there is astonishing because it teaches the hackers, the aggressors, more about the structure than it does about the specific heist or monitoring observation attempt. At this point, they're not trying to shake the waters. They're trying to get their ears and eyes inside people's activities and people's minds and motivations. But then they find a lot more about the structure. Yep. And they say, holy smokes, this thing is terrible. This is like a roller coaster built in the 1950s. How has someone not beaten us to this yet?
They're like casing the joint at this point, you know, checking for those unlatched windows that you were talking about.
Well, yeah, and figuring out the web of who to target when and for what.
Yeah, they get access to not just text communique, but also phone conversations. And they get real close to being able to do it in real time.
And that would be a great way to gather that kind of compromise on these individuals. Not only are you learning potentially actionable intelligence items, but you might find someone doing something they're not supposed to, that's in a position that you might want to take advantage of, and then you've got everything you need to flip them.
Mm-hmm. Check out our earlier episodes because, look, we're not spilling beans outside of the barrel here. This is known tactics, and they are deployed by all high-level world powers. So initially, the Biden administration, this happened while Joe Biden was the president of the U.S. The Biden administration acknowledged this hack from July of 2024, but members of Congress, members of Joe Biden's own ostensible political party, they came forward pretty soon after and they said, look, you guys are making this sound like it's not a big deal, and it is a huge deal.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I remember that PR kind of line that they pushed out, and maybe just because I wanted to be blissfully ignorant to it, I sort of was like, okay, it's probably fine. And I'm sure a lot of people did the same thing, which was as intended.
I don't want to spoil the lead here. We were pretty straightforward in saying the Treasury Department got hacked hard. But if you read the official, you know, statements, it was, that's not a big deal. We'll talk about that. But that was definitely the forward-facing message. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal. Tiny little hack.
Little breach. Little micro breach. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, everybody sometimes pushes a fart too hard and get a little juice in your pants.
Oh my God.
That's what they were saying. They had a little juice. That's what they were saying.
That was actually in the official release. That's the language they chose to go with.
Yeah, but we do have a let's say a sentiment from Senator Mark Warner of Virginia about this specific hack under the Biden administration when they were in charge. And he at the time was the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. He was pretty messed up about it. Like, he thought, guys, this is way worse than we're all saying out loud.
Yeah. He said he was stunned by the scope and depth of the breach. And again, look, politics aside, this guy is also a Democrat. For anybody outside of the U.S., Joe Biden was, and I assume is, a Democrat. So these guys are on the same, you know, political team. And this dude, Senator Warner, is saying, no, it's not just some juice. These attacks are going to lead to more attacks unless there is a serious inventory of our security on the U.S. side. And being from Virginia and being a politician, just to be fair, obviously he's going to lean into like folksy idioms because he wants to get reelected. So he says, the barn door is still wide open, or mostly open.
Now, is this not part of the mandate or mission of the whole Elon Musk Doge crew? Like, to prevent stuff like, I mean, again, whatever they're actually up to prevent stuff like this, to tighten up security on these antiquated computer systems?
Unfortunately, no.
You think that'd be a good selling point, though? You know, like, how are they going to help us?
No, their thing is to help the American. Their stated purpose is to help the American public by eliminating wasteful government spending and fraud.
Well, yeah, and remember, these are private telecoms. that were targeted in this specific instance, right? So this is not government at
all. No, that's true, but it did have tendrils that reached into government, which is what we're going to get further into.
Long lines building. Yes. Love it. Love it. Imagine a skyscraper with no windows. If you live in Manhattan, boy, do we have news for you. Also, by the way, this is how unprepared Uncle Sam was. The federal government, the folks who run the world's most dangerous military still, in all of known existence, technically, they did not discover this on their own. They were too big. They were like a blue whale that didn't know it had some parasites on its tail. They instead got word about this from Microsoft, private company. Their cybersec team discovered the first hack, the telecom hack, right? Or that's we say first because that's the one they discovered first. And they're the ones who gave us that sick name, Salt Typhoon. Again, it does sound like one of those giant robots, a Jaeger from Pacific Rim. Well done, fellow nerds. The U.S. government, even after they knew, they were trying to, you know, picture the whale trying to turn around and look at its own tail. They still didn't understand the following things. They're really dangerous. First, they didn't understand how China was able to obtain this information in the first place. Second, they didn't understand how this breach allowed them to target and monitor conversations with those high-value targets. And then they also didn't understand the full ways in which this had implications for the future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they didn't know the specifics of what was taken. They just knew it had been happening for a certain amount of time. So you then have to just assume that anything and everything that was discussed by everybody.
Everyone was
just swept up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They say, okay, these hackers used stolen passwords. Honestly, very easy. We don't say this with any like great pride, and we're not trying to be dicks about it, but a lot of people used really dumb passwords like 12345, you know, in their government jobs. And then they focused on these systems that would function under stuff like the FISA court, right? You know, get the warrant such that you are legally allowed to monitor phone calls and text. But it looks like as soon as, to your point about observation, as soon as they realized that they had been discovered, Salt Typhoon and co. retreated, right? They left the house. They left some windows unlocked. They suspended their activities because if they are not observed, that means it is incredibly difficult to gauge the amount of damage done, to know what they touched. To keep with our like B&E comparison, I would say think of it as hearing the sirens in the distance while you're still inside the house and having enough time to wipe down as much stuff as possible. You remove your fingerprints.
Mm-hmm. Or shredding the docs.
Mm-hmm.
Putting the drills through your hard drives.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's an old favorite of us. It's stuff they don't want you to know. Brought to you by Big Drill.
But now we sit, as we record, on March the 7th of 2025, and a little bit more information has come out about what really went down during these hacks. And we're going to tell you all about that right after we take a quick word from our sponsor.
If you could lose 10.4 pounds in a single month, would you try? Well, with Future Health, you can.
That's right. Future Health gives millions access to affordable meds like Ozempic and Semaglutide for less than $3 a day.
You just take a quick 3-minute survey, and if approved, boom, your meds are delivered right to your door within 24 hours for free.
I've personally used these medications and found that it really helped me get an edge on appetite suppression when paired with diet and exercise, something that I always struggled with.
Get this, there's also no insurance needed, so no insurance headaches, and everything is online, which means no doctor visits.
Find out if these medications are right for you in just 3 minutes at tryfh.com.
That's tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Results vary based on start weight and adherence to diet, exercise, and program goals.
Data based on independent studies sponsored by Future Health.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion.
the best AI assistant isn't one that knows the whole world. It's one that knows your world. A custom assistant built on Watson X with IBM's Granite models can leverage your trusted data, be easily trained on your workflows, and integrate with your apps. It can be tuned to do just what you need, because the more AI knows about your world, the more it can help you do. Learn more at ibm.com/productivity. IBM. Let's create.
Ready to shoot your shot? Log on to BetMGM and make your picks in our college basketball 250K Pick'em for your chance to win a share of bonus bets. It's free to play and easy to get started. Just log on to your BetMGM account and predict what will happen at different points throughout the college basketball tournament. You'll earn points with every correct answer, which gives you a shot to win a share of bonus bets. Just pick what will happen throughout the college basketball tournament, and if you make enough correct picks, you'll win a share of bonus bets. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Spring Fest and Ego Days are here at Lowe's. Right now, get a free select Ego 56 volt battery with purchase of a select trimmer, blower, or mower kit. Plus, shop today for new and exclusive items you need for your lawn. So get ready for spring with the latest in innovation from Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Only at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 4/2. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
We've returned. Fast forward, December 2024, just a few months ago, as weird as that is to say, because a lot has happened. We are, to your point, Noel, starting to learn more about what transpired. Somehow, and we're still officially not sure how, the hackers of Salt Typhoon, they snagged a nearly comprehensive list of phone numbers the DOJ has actively wiretapped, which means, for the purposes of the PRC, they got a list of like 80 to 90% of every individual the DOJ thinks might be spying.
Wow.
Again, not ideal.
Yeah, or a part of some criminal syndicate, right? That's moving money or functioning through investments through a series of front companies or something like that. I mean, we're talking. So basically, they figured out who we think the bad guys are. So now they know which bad guys that they might be associated with are under investigation. Which, you've seen movies, you've seen TV shows. Once you know you're under investigation, the whole game changes.
Yeah, your behaviors change, right? And you can, again, decision tree people toward actions that are preferable to you. So we saw a Venn diagram, right? China has a list of assets. And to be completely fair and to exercise empathy, it is known that quite a few people who are functioning as Chinese assets abroad are not doing so of their own free will. They are being coerced with threats to their family and intimidation and extortion, you know, all the hits. And again, the U.S. does this too. hate to say it, but it's true. So you nailed it, Matt. One of the logical primary goals of attaining this list is not to immediately people, right? The Chinese boffins don't love a third story window as much as our friends in Russia, but they do want that information. And perhaps the most important thing is when you're able to compare those two lists, right? The one we have, the one China has, or the one the US has and the one we have, you can find the coolest part, the real umami. Who do we know works for us that is yet to be clocked, right? Where is the gap? Where's the missing piece, the blind spot?
And let's find a way to get them in on the investigation.
Let's have them meet that blue jeans lady, right?
Yeah. You know?
And maybe they can, you know, maybe they can get at the right conference. Maybe they can get assigned to the right project because it's never—
Or get them elected to some official office?
Yeah, yeah. It's never— Look, spy movies always want you to think it's a big push. It's hardly ever a big push. It's a series of little nudges, right? You seek to erode people. You seek to normalize very not normal stuff over time and do it in such a way that you can never be held responsible and always, at the worst, say, oh, I'm surprised as you are. You know, I thought everybody was being cool. Why are you not being cool about this?
Yikes.
Yikes. Big yikes. But fortunately, we do have some announcements. You know, they come to us from the Treasury and the DOJ. Whatever these hackers found, it appears they didn't compromise just these high-value targets. They also compromised more than 100 U.S. organizations, private and public. The Treasury went forward to the masses at the end of the Biden administration when there was a lot of other stuff going on, and they said, look, here's what happened. These hackers that we think are definitely based in China and definitely working for China in some capacity, to your point, Noel, we think that they gained access to our employees' workstations, aka computers, database, so on. And at the very least, they got some documents. And someone said, what kind of documents did they get? And the Treasury said, no further, we're not taking questions.
Yep. Yep. You may remember this. We talked about it close to around the time. I think we mentioned it in Strange News in December at some point, 2024, because it was pretty shocking. So in a statement that the Department of Treasury made, they said that on December 8th, they were made known that there was some kind of hack that occurred via a third-party software service they use called Beyond Trust.
All one word.
Yep. This is a company that provides things like remote access for governmental employees at the Department of Treasury. And Beyond Trust said some hackers gained access by obtaining a security key. And then they used that to get into specific, not very many individuals' machines and materials. But they use that single security key to make it seem like they were trustworthy and were able to remotely access essentially desktops/laptops.
And in doing so, perhaps make more keys. For about 72 hours, at least as far as we understand, Beyond Trust was able to monitor these activities. During that time, they saw these operators create accounts, change passwords. Changing passwords makes sense. Of course, you would do that, but it heightens your risk of being apprehended, right? So ideally, what you want to do is create a new account that you control, right? And make it look native, right? Throw some wool over your wolf and have it run with the sheep.
Yep. But hey, this should be known. According to the official statements at that time, the Department of Treasury said, hey, the only things that were taken were unclassified files.
Oh, tight.
They're unclassified, guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they broke into my house, but don't worry. They just stole the trash.
Yeah, but hey, you can find a lot of interesting stuff digging around in people's trash now.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well put, yes. I love the point, they did not specify the nature of these unclassified troves of information. They didn't say what kind of files were taken. They didn't say when or for how long the hack took place, other than that 72-hour monitoring window. They also didn't say how confidential or how, you know, protected these systems are supposed to be. They also gathered ranks, and they didn't say how senior the staff was. Mm. And that last part is super important. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Seems like it probably wasn't the interns.
Doesn't feel like the interns, just to be honest. It does not feel like it was the person in charge of scheduling, you know, the in-office birthday party.
Ooh, but you know, an assistant, that's, oh gosh, that's scary.
An assistant is what you go for. Going for the top folks is fine. It works in fiction. It's fun in like Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy or whatever. But really what you want is the boring people. You want the people a couple steps down, you know what I mean? Maybe not the person who does the birthday parties, but the person who has to know enough about what's being discussed in a meeting to figure out who goes into that meeting.
Yep. The scheduler.
We're putting you on game, folks. We do know there was a pickle here, a bag of badgers, because investigators, private and public, like from Beyond Trust and from the U.S., they were baffled. Whomever was doing this did not seem to be, despite accessing the Treasury Department, they did not seem to be directly attempting to steal money. Again, they broke into a house with a lot of valuables. They did not take super immediately valuable stuff. That made a lot of folks assume this was straight up espionage. You know what I mean? What does our friend Heath Ledger say? It's not about money. It's about sending a message. Something like that.
I think that's right. Yeah.
As the Joker. Sorry.
Right.
No, his character. Yeah.
All right.
Dude, speaking about breaking into a place with the valuables, did you see there's a recent statement from, I can't remember if it was directly from Elon Musk or Donald Trump, but it was something about, it was questioning whether or not Fort Knox actually has gold in it still.
Yeah.
that's the big thing that Doge is talking about, right? Yeah, they're going to do a big reveal, like that Geraldo thing with the vault. And it was just like a candy wrapper was in there or something. Wouldn't that be funny though? Because I actually wanted to bring this up at the top of the show when we were talking about the nature of debt and the value of money and stuff. Like, we're not on a gold standard anymore, but still matters that there's tons of gold. The idea of it matters.
Yeah, because it's a tangible representation of value. That's the only reason. Like, the only reason people got into gold in the beginning was because it's ductile. I think we talked about this in an earlier
stage. Right. You can pound it thin or stretch it into. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can make a little necklace and tell people, you're better than them, I guess.
But like, to the point of like confidence or whatever, and like manipulating the markets, and like, people saying stuff could be enough to change the winds of finance. Like, what if we were to discover that Fort Knox was a ruse and there was nothing in there? Would it like—
Then we would immediately republish our episode from years ago when we asked this question. And obviously Doge listens to this show.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The conspiracy theorists are at the helm now, which is so fun.
it's great for us.
It's true. And part of the reason that exists is because there is a lack of transparency. You know what I mean? It would have been, just objectively, it would have been easy on an operational level for some sanctioned government department to say, hey, we're going to have a quick little documentary, and we're going to walk you around Fort Knox, and stuff like that happened in the past. But then people began to question the sources, and that was aided and abetted by asymmetric foreign info war attempts, right? Mm-hmm. Not an Alex Jones thing, the actual concepts, way of waging, yes. waging war through information.
Let's undermine people's belief in the power of the United States by saying things like, there's no gold in Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm. And if you undermine the belief in an institution, then that also puts the institution itself a tremendous disadvantage, right? It puts it on its back, back heels, I guess all heels are back heels, but it puts you on your back foot, because then you have to respond to allegations and you're just losing more and more time during that great Gish Gallop.
Oh, I like that. Gish Gallop. I like that a lot. I don't even know what that is.
Gish Gallop is where you kind of just freestyle a bunch of nonsense and maybe one out of 10 things is true, but you just level a bunch of statements or accusations that the receiver rival party tries to answer in an orderly fashion, and then you just keep going and you don't listen to them. Yeah.
Oh God. That sounds familiar.
It sure does. It sure does. It sure does. You could say there were several debates about it not too long ago.
Yeah.
So, look, that's the thing though. Are they, if they're not automatically stealing money, right? If they're not automatically moving funds, then what are they doing? Why? We already know China's top intelligence and security boffins. Good luck to you guys. They have a deep interest in the Treasury because it oversees all those financial systems. It implements sanctions, importantly. So if you can get into the Treasury, and you can see what the Treasury is prioritizing, it's very close to a limited form of telepathy regarding the United States overall. Now, we can predict priorities, and perhaps if we play our cards right, we can take action to prevent upcoming moves. Cough, cough, Taiwan, cough, cough.
Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Bless you. I bless people when they cough. People think it's weird.
I achoo, Falun Gong, sneeze one more time.
It's great.
It's real. I'm telling we're saying it. I mean, this is what we can say for sure. The next few months are going to be a wild ride. That's the only thing the public knows. It's an ongoing story, like we kept saying. We can give you a few additional updates, which happened, get this, folks, just a few days before we came to record here with you tonight on March 7th. On Thursday and Wednesday of this week, we got some full criminal charges against 12 Chinese nationals who are currently not apprehended today. But hey, bounty hunter style, if you can get one and you survive, the U.S. government may give you as much as $10 million. Asterisk.
Sick.
Well, it's minus taxes and it's after a conviction.
That's okay.
It'd take a while.
I'm cool with that.
Worth it.
What did they say when they released these statements hunting these dirty dozen individuals?
They said that there were 12 individuals that attacked over 100 different organizations. And it was actually a strategy that went back as far as 2013. So this, you imagine a group that's just kind of been waiting to implement the right attacks at the right time.
Well, yeah.
And this was one of the big ones.
Doing that just recon, laying the groundwork all those many years.
Mm-hmm. But the big question then is, was this attack just another little stepping stone in whatever the big operation is?
Yeah, and if so, what is it, right? That's the trillion-dollar question. The DOJ, Department of Justice here in the U.S., says, all right, look, maybe some of these 12 people, maybe they were acting on their own. Yeah, maybe. They said, we can prove that I think about 8 of them were ordered to do this by entities of the Chinese government, the Ministry of Public Security, or MPS, and the Ministry of State Security, MSS. And 2 of the people that they specifically name in these accusations are employees, like direct high-ranking employees of these ministries. But to your point, Noel, there is, as we talked about in previous episodes on the 50 Cent Army or whatever, the nation of China has a complex and very clever approach to denying state involvement in these operations through the use of proxy, ostensibly private industries. And we have to be really careful when we talk about this because a lot of politicians use it to sound or to propagate very racist statements and to make people like hate more than a billion other folks just because they happen to live in China. This is why we have to acknowledge the United States does the exact same thing pretty often. Check out BlackRock's recent exciting purchases of 2 ports in Panama. Private industry.
That's a good idea.
Just happens to be 2 of the ports that the U.S. is currently beefing with Panama about.
I wonder what private kind of company. Art. Yeah, I wonder what kind of art they keep in those ports.
Only the best.
Only the best. Only the best. Straight up, only original drawings of Dick Butt.
Oh, God.
Do you guys remember Dick Butt?
I hope he's got to be trillions. Who could trillions Dick of Butt?
our little pal?
That's the real takeaway from this episode. That's what these hackers are looking for, the original drawing of Dick Butt.
It'd be amazing if that was the whole thing.
It's the only thing in Fort Knox. There's no gold. There's one framed drawing of Dick Butt.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's got one of those like official handwritten. Graded
no, no, no. Even better. Just on a on a napkin on the back of a piece of trash. Just a sketch of Dick Butt.
And it's not handwritten. It's dick written.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Dare to dream, right? how does this work though? This is where we learn about an ostensibly private Chinese company called iSoon. iSoon, hopefully no relation to iHeart.
One would hope.
One hopes. So what do we know about iSoon?
Well, they can compromise Gmail and Microsoft Outlook inboxes. They can also easily compromise X/Twitter. Why would they do that?
Mm.
Who knows?
To what end? Facebook.
The shadow knows, Matt. The shadow, yeah.
Shadow knows.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons you might do this is to monitor the opinions that are not stated publicly that high-level officials might have, right? Mm. The discussions that are had between, you know, high-level individuals that are never stated out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, imagine if you are working in a social dynamic and you wonder what other people in that dynamic might think of you. And you think, are they sending messages about me on the side? What do they say if so? Yeah. That's kind of what the Chinese government is accused of looking for through Silk Typhoon and AP27. Silk Typhoon, by the way, I can't remember if we mentioned this, it's different from another hacker group called Vault Typhoon. Vault Typhoon seeks to compromise U.S. infrastructure.
Do you think Salt Typhoon and Vault Typhoon, who would win in a fight between Salt Typhoon and Vault Typhoon? You know,
and Silk Typhoon.
Oh, fair. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm talking
yes.
about if they were the Jaegers, the mechs, you know. The Evangelians.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
I don't know.
Sorry. It's a Please, dumb question.
No, it's not. There are no dumb questions unless you think you have one for us. Prove us wrong in this assumption. ConspiracyDieHeartRadio.com. Think about Silk Typhoon is that they have a jacket. They have a track record. They've been continually accused of being behind hacks of universities. Also easy to do that. Healthcare systems. Also easy to do that. And the DOJ says this company, iSoon, which is functioning as sort of a face for dirty things from the Chinese government, they say these guys were essentially given bounties. So they would take this data and then they would sell it to folks associated with the Chinese government or certain agencies, a hacker for hire system. And that's brilliant because, you know, if you're, you know, Uncle Xi and you get caught, you can say, oh my God, what the heck? You guys, mm-hmm. we're just as surprised as you. We're all trying to find the guy who did this. You say yeah. in your hot dog costume.
But let's make something really clear here because I got a little confused even looking through my research here. Salt Typhoon is the group thought to be responsible for the communications intrusion.
Yes.
Silk Typhoon is the group thought to be responsible for the treasury infiltration via, what is the name of the thing? Beyond Trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, taking that API security key via Beyond Trust. Mm-hmm. And then Vault Typhoon is possible attacks on U.S. infrastructure, power yep. stations, stuff yep. like that. So it's a multi-pronged defense. We can also say the legal defense, the, oh my gosh, I'm just another guy happening to wear a hot dog costume in the store. That gets pretty flimsy if you can prove that iSoon did attempt to sell stolen data on U.S. nationals, right, mm-hmm. To China for, I think it was not a bad price overall in the great game. It's like they were trying to sell something like 10,000 to 75,000 U.S. dollars per each email inbox. So not per message. You got to get a price break, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like now I'm selling us compromised email inboxes.
That should be a side hustle.
We should. We live in a gig economy, do we not? So,
dude. Oh, sorry.
No, you got it. You got it.
Guys, there's this other thing that I just wanted to throw into here that was, it was at least reported on in January of this year about Silk Typhoon's infiltration and how they were potentially looking at foreign investments, like companies that assess security risks for foreign investments within the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys remember, we talked about there was a Chinese investment group underneath a bunch of shell corporations that was trying to buy huge swaths of land that yes. were It's not the one in California we talked about. It was right near a specific base, like military base, but other parts that were close to critical infrastructure in the United States. Mm-hmm. And it ended up getting blocked because it was found that it was Chinese investment that came under scrutiny, and then they stopped it. But then you've got these guys in December looking at the foreign investment offices within the Department of Treasury. Hmm. So it does make you wonder, like, what in the end, is it a strategy to find the loopholes and the weak points to be able to purchase large swaths of land for specific purposes?
Partially, yes. To be quite honest with you, that is part of the rubric, right? Part of the tactic applied. The easier way to do it, obviously, is to go through a sovereign wealth fund. Shout out to Aaron Aronson. Go through as many proxies as you can. Maybe find an individual who is already U.S. national and work through them by hook or by crook, by carrot or by stick. This is tricky stuff. And maybe one of the most worrying factors here is all the hard legwork of these investigations show us that Isoon, that company, private company, isn't just selling individual espionage fish via inboxes. Instead, the company is offering to teach direct employees, official employees of the PRC, to become fishermen in their own right. They're training employees on how to hack independently of Isoon, and perhaps providing a suite of software tools. And then they're also, you know, just giving you the day one hacking methods. Like, this is, hey, go here. The password is 12345. Yeah, it's happening. And we're talking about more than, like, Treasury Department made the news, but we're also talking technology companies, think tanks, law firms, defense contractors, your local government. Check in on your comptroller. It's just a reason for us to say the word comptroller again. It's I wish it was a different job. It sounds way cooler than it is. It's a comptroller again. It's an accountant, right?
It's like a treasurer almost. Yeah.
Oh, even better.
I think the same. You know, potato, potato.
Yeah. Oh, also religious organizations and private info of journalists, right? Even the journalists you don't like, they want to know all of it. And none of the defendants, none of those 12 people named, none of that dirty dozen, are currently in U.S. custody. So at this point, before we end, I think we have to do it. I feel we are ethically required to. What is the official response of China to, like, overall and specifically?
I'll tell you one one response that they had very recently, not necessarily about this, but just a response in general. It was published in BBC on March 5th as we record, where China says, quote, "It is ready for any type of war with the US, including a trade war or other."
Right. But they never fully copped to doing this, though, right?
Absolutely, to that point, denied anything related to
– yes.
Because it's private industry, right? Mm-hmm. Chinese officials may allude to the possibility of, say, a motivated patriot working on their own, you know, vigilante style. In this specific case, we can go to a spokesperson for China's foreign ministry, Mao Ning, who said, look, these allegations by Uncle Sam are groundless. Further, we oppose all forms of hacking attacks, and we're even more opposed to the spread of false information against China for political purposes. And true story, representatives of the U.S. Treasury traveled to China to hang out and have, like, a, you know, clear the air discussion, what corporate America would call a healthy conversation, because, hey, maybe China is telling the truth. Dylan, could you give us a sarcastic sound cue? Just go wild with it.
Oh, perfect. Wow. Well, of course, all of this occurred before, you know, the tariffs, financial wars fully began between the United States and China. There's always been tensions and small things happening, but now we're officially embroiled in that, you know, along with Canada and Mexico and a lot of other countries. And just this concept of China coming out publicly and saying, hey, we're ready for war. And then you think about potentially the actions that were taken, whether on behalf of China as, you know, a state or not, if they've got some of that information that makes them prepared to take strategic actions against the U.S., it just, especially when it comes to money and trade wars, it does feel like it's one big deck that's getting stacked somehow by people that we just don't know, right? Ooh. Who are acting for what purpose besides winning at some point, right?
Yeah. Because
there's other stuff going on too. We talked about a sovereign wealth fund would be the way to get through that foreign investment into buying land. The United States just started a sovereign mm-hmm. wealth fund. Donald Trump, something he did in February, he froze a law that banned the bribing of foreign officials for 180 days.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, and also, thanks, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Ben. Get it.
Oh. Well, but just the fact that and what was there was sorry, one other thing, and I don't mean this in kind of some kind of anti-Trump way. I just mean it seems like these things are coming together in a specific fashion to shore up corruption at the highest levels, because there was another move that was disbanding the foreign interference in elections group that was investigating that stuff. It does feel like, I don't know, the intrusion thing is happening deeper than just the Treasury Department.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that statement that you alluded to, if war is what the U.S. wants, be it a tariff war, a trade war, or any other type of war, we're ready to fight till the end, does come officially from China's embassy, but was published on Twitter. So disappointing that such monumental moves will happen on social media. Those are the times in which we live. We mentioned a second hack at the top of the show this evening. The second hack that we're referring to might be controversial for some of us in the crowd. It is, we'll give you the quick skinny, it is Doge, the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, governmental efficiency. Street name Doge, get it, it's wordplay. They came under fire for doing a lot of wild stuff recently. Specifically, an employee for Doge named Marco Iles had the ability to alter code that controls trillions of dollars worth of federal spending, even though the White House and the U.S. Treasury said he did not have this. They said he had read-only access. People looked into that, whether through purposeful prevarication or whether through honest mistakes. That was incorrect. He did have the ability to write and alter code. A few days after these claims, that was rescinded. Critics are saying that Doge is un-American and is compromising people with due to conflicts of interest. Supporters say, yeah, Elon Musk is unelected, but his organization is uncovering massive amounts of fraud.
Yeah, I hope that's true. I don't know. I don't think it's true.
The whole thing feels really weird.
It's super weird.
The other thing that the Silk Typhoon folks targeted was one of the offices that specifically oversees foreign sanctions against Chinese companies. And the U.S. has been making more and more moves sanctioning Chinese private companies that for doing stuff that they consider is wrong, let's say.
Sure.
So now you got eyes on specifically not only who has already been targeted, but who is potentially going to be targeted.
Right. Again, the prognostication, being able to read the tea leaves to predict and maybe prevent future actions. That's the real ham in the sandwich here. And one thing is for sure, we know we've gone a little bit long on this. One thing is for sure, folks, anybody you look at in this game, they are holding some of their cards. No one is being fully transparent. China is denying everything. Uncle Sam doesn't want to expose what we call collection means and methods because doing so would play their hand out in the future. And obviously, Doge is launching contradictory statements every other Wednesday. So the truth of the matter is this: no matter what your individual perspective is, no matter how we look at it, objectively, everybody in this case has some serious stuff they don't want you to know. And we would love to hear from you. We try to be easy to find online, via telephone, via email. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
That's right. You can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist all over the social medias. You can find us at that handle on X, FKA, Twitter, and on YouTube, where we have video content galore for you to enjoy. You can also find us on Facebook. We have our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy. On Instagram and TikTok, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
We have a phone number. It is 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, it's a voicemail system. Give yourself a cool nickname and let us know within the message if we can use your name and message on the air. If you got more to say than could fit in a 3-minute voicemail, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read every piece of correspondence we receive. Be well aware, yet unafraid. Sometimes the void writes back. In fact, we're catching up with a few of you later this evening. So if you've already written to us, stay tuned. If you haven't yet, take one step further. Join us here in the dark, conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.